Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I am Joe Caruso. I'm going to be your host today as we step into a rewind episode where you get the pleasure of catching up on one of our most watched or most questions asked videos or podcasts from old. And so as we check out these topics, we hope it's encouraging for you. We hope it's helpful for you. There is always a cyclical nature to life where we kind of run back into some of the same issues. We've picked out a few as we kind of figure out our summer that you can enjoy, that you can learn from, that you can rest in, and that you can even challenge yourself as we continue to seek Jesus through all the mixed messages around us. So let's dive into this rewind episode. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for our next episode of El Mensajes de Mixto. Just kidding. We're starting
Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that's how you said my name.
No, I didn't say Jeff. I only got through mixed messages in the incorrect way
Hence
so far.
Hence the humor, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that why they call you Mixto around
the office?
Joe's sleepy
today, everybody. This could be a long podcast. Yep. He's not his normal chipper self.
Along with my bad Spanish there, yo necesito la siesta, una siesta. Yep, and it's our next episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. My name is Joe Caruso, and I'll be your sleepy host as we dig into today's topic. Well, from news sources to comedians, friends to advertisements, it seems everyone has an idea of how we should think and live and make decisions. But when everyone disagrees, how do we cut through the noise? How do we sift through all the information overload and choose what governs our lives? As we pray and process these things, we want to offer a resource to navigate some of the day's most pressing topics and questions. You know, Jeff, this is better than our old time when we recorded this, but that mid-afternoon is still a thing.
It's brutal, yeah.
And I actually just drove a half hour in the like nasty, gloomy rain, which never gets you chipper.
That's the issue right now. Like, if you're listening to somewhere else or at a different time, in Northeast Ohio right now, it's like 38 and raining.
Yeah, that's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, it's just gross and like damp. And I've been wearing like this fleece lined parka I just bought. I told Heidi the other day, I was like, I have to have a warm coat. So I look like a little kid that got bundled up by their mom to go outside, but I'm warm. So I don't care. I don't care about style. I don't care about any of it. I'm like, it keeps me warm. That's all I care about right now.
All I can picture you is dressed up like Ralphie from A Christmas Story.
That's kind of the way I look a little bit. I can barely get up in my truck.
Jeffrey, it's a Zeppelin. Oh, that's super good.
So we're all low-key depressed here in Northeast Ohio right now.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, that just makes us appreciate even more when the spring and the summer comes.
You know, my daughter-in-law, Joy, said that last night. She sat down. They came over to the house, and we're hanging out for a second. And she kind of, you know, took a deep sigh and sat down. I was like, Joy, because Joy's always in a good mood. Mm. I'm like, did you have a long day? She goes, it's the weather. And I said, you're right. And I started complaining. She goes, well, it makes us appreciate the sunny days more. I'm like, ah. Good perspective, but could we have just complained a little bit longer?
Just a couple more minutes before you give me that darned perspective.
I know.
Oh, man. Speaking of darned perspective, why do we got them kids around here, Jeff? That's today's question. I'm totally teasing. But today's question is, so here at Grace, we have internships and residencies. And it's a big deal, and we have lots of them around, especially with all of our campuses. And we love most of them. we love a little snarky today too, apparently, but I do love them all. There's a unique side of this question today. So not only, Jeff, why would we have them?
Yeah.
But why would we invest in them? And that comes all the way down to like the personal investment. Like, why should I personally give so that interns and residents can have this opportunity?
Yeah, you know, this is a Grace Church question, but honestly, if you go to a church anywhere or if you're a ministry leader anywhere, it's something you need to wrestle with. It's probably one of the things that I talk about the most when I'm coaching other pastors and talking to other churches, because it universally is important, I think, to have internships and residents. Because of the state of the church right now. Mm. So I kind of start with a big view. The North American church is in really difficult shape right now. Right now, the average age of a pastor, a senior pastor in North America, is 60 years old.
Wow.
And the stats say, these are Barna stats. By the way, these are pre-COVID stats. So it's actually worse now than it was pre-COVID. But pre-COVID, 85% of all pastors will be of retirement age in the next 4.5 years.
Wow.
So it's a massive turnover.
Only Does that mean I can retire early then?
No. It means you're too young. only about 20% of pastors are under the age of 40.
Wow.
In North America. And so a lot of church closures and things like that that you're seeing are not coming because there's not a need for the church. It's not certainly not because of mega churches, that kind of stuff. They're literally closing because there's no one to take over. Mm. And when you look around and you look at churches trying to do succession from maybe a longtime pastor, an older pastor who's retiring or winding down, or just a straight-up pastoral vacancy, what you'll find again and again and again is there is no one to take that role. Hmm. There's no one to step into it. There's no one to come on staff at larger churches, and there's no one to be kind of that solo pastor at like a small church or a rural church. So it's a massive crisis that is getting worse very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of things that we're a part of as a church. One is something I'm a part of that a lot of people know about here at Grace is I'm the president of what's called Momentum Ministry Partners. And a big part of what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise up 3,000 pastors in the next 20 years just to fill these vacancies.
Yeah.
That would not even keep up with the problem on a global or a national level, but it's kind of within our scope of work. And so everything from training pastors to encouraging them, this is why I talk about this stuff so much, to giving vision to young people to even go into ministry and what that life would look like and how that works. And so we do everything from raise money for scholarships for that all the way through. We have a big youth conference. We actually give invitations for kids to pursue that. And then we have educational processes through Grace College, Grace Seminary, to work on all that. But it's because there is a massive, massive problem. Now, here at Grace, we have some of those same problems. Mm. So right now, Grace is able to produce enough leaders to sustain ourselves. But like I got a phone call from a buddy the other day, and he's like, hey, I need a youth guy. I need an associate guy. I will literally hire a guy tomorrow. Hmm. Like I got the money, I got everything, I don't have anybody to call. And I'm like, I don't have anybody for you. I would totally give that away. We do give that away all the time, but I'm like, I don't have anybody. The guys, the men and women who are coming through our training processes are like accounted for already. So it's a problem. No matter the size of the church or the health of the church, it's a real critical problem. And if we had this problem with nurses, if we had this problem with teachers, and we do have this problem with like tradesmen right now, like literally the government would be, you know, turning attention to it through educational systems. The government isn't going to help the church, and we probably don't want it to anyways, but we have to turn our attention to this. Or within a generation, the gospel footprint in North America and then eventually globally will be deeply diminished simply because there are not trained, equipped, available pastors to do that work. So what's interesting here at Grace is about 10 years ago, we saw this coming. Now, I didn't have all the stats then, and Barna hadn't done his research yet, et cetera, but we could feel it in our gut because as we start campuses and as our own kind of church grows, we felt that the inability to find staff very, very deeply.
Yeah.
And so we were looking to hire, looking to train. We did what a lot of churches did. We like engaged search firms, did national searches, and we ran into this problem a decade ago where we're like, there's actually nobody there, nobody that matches us anyways. And so we spent like a ton of money. We tried a bunch of stuff, and like it just wasn't producing results. And again, it's not because nobody was working hard or we were making dumb decisions. There just wasn't anybody that fit our DNA. And so about 10-ish years ago, we just said we're going to have to do this ourselves. If we don't start training within ourselves, then 10 years from now, our problem is not just going to still be there. It's going to be compounded mm-hmm. because of our growth. So about 10 years ago, we introduced what we now call our internships and residency programs. And we started asking the people of Grace Church to fund those mm-hmm. through their giving. We do this a lot through vision campaigns, et cetera. And we said we have to start growing our own people. And we actually have to start doing that in undergrad. What we found was that oftentimes when a young person, like in high school, feels a call or an inkling toward ministry, if you send them off to college, nobody affirms that in them mm-hmm. or gives them a vision for it. And so we just said the way that school works now, most kids who go off to like college or go into even a trade are making those decisions in high school now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you do so much of your college in high school. Trade school, for instance, you would do a lot of that in high school. And so we just said we have to get involved young and we have to get involved in a way that's economic. So what we've done is we have our internships, our residency. An intern is a 25-hour-a-week employee of Grace Church, and then they are a full-time undergrad student. And a resident is a full-time employee of Grace Church and a full-time graduate student, so mm-hmm. college and seminary. It's interesting. I looked at our freshman class the other day. I was with them. And I said, guys, why do you need a formal education to be a pastor? And one of them said, well, you know, I want to serve people well and help them well. I was like, nah, you don't need a Bible degree to serve people well and help them well. And another person said, you know, I want to do this over the course of my life and make it like my career. And I said, nah, you don't need a Bible degree to have a career. And I actually reached down and picked up my phone and I said, you need a formal degree and a formal education because of the phone. Mm-hmm. Because every wicked, false, dumb scheme of the devil that has ever existed is now in my hand.
Yeah.
And so much false teaching, whether it's heretical guise in Christianity, like a prosperity gospel type teaching, whether it's a false discrediting of the Bible mm-hmm. And the validity of like the canonization process, et cetera, or whether it's a direct attack on a church. You engage in a really unhealthy church, and now all of Christianity is to blame
right.
for what you did. All the way down to the changing of Scripture when it comes to things like sexual identity, marriage, et cetera. And so I just said to our students, I said, if you don't know the Word of God inside and out, and you don't know your theology and your doctrine inside and out, and if you're going to be the leader, if you're going to lead the church or lead the youth ministry or the children's ministry, et cetera, then we have a extra responsibility to do that. So more so than when I, 30 years ago when I came out of college, I think education is more important now than it was then because there's so much and false teaching that is so available that the in-depth study is actually really necessary right now.
It's a theological version of why we have this podcast.
Right.
There's so many mixed messages out there. You have to know where you're at.
And a mixed message can very quickly be an incorrect message.
Yes.
And you have to know that the evil one schemes through the mechanisms of the day, and the mechanisms of the day is as our phones and internet. So the same thing that brings you every sexual perversion on planet Earth and mm-hmm. all the pornography on planet Earth is this exact same thing that brings you truth about God.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be true, but yep. it's most often false.
Well, how many times have you and I led a conversation or even just a weekend service and people aren't flipping open their Bible, they're opening their phones to
100%.
Check out the Scripture. So it's all there, but like you said, so is everything else.
Well, I like to say about preaching that I have to, and you do it too, we have to develop a fully researched paper
mm-hmm.
that we master, and then we have to present in front of thousands of people as they fact check us in real time.
Yep.
There's no room to be wrong. And then you got to do it again the next week. And that it that is the training part of this. Mm-hmm. There's a full-time ministry has a spiritual component, and then it has a professionalism to it. You know, you search the scriptures, you know them, you correctly handle the word of truth, and then there's all of the counsel and advice, which wind up being theological questions. So, like if somebody sits down and says, we're struggling with possibly looking at a divorce, I'm putting a theological question together. I'm not going to just a verse and says, you know, don't do that or do that. I have to know the scripture and how to form it, and either to in order to bring it to your life in a Christ-honoring way. And it just takes the work to do that. So we look and say there's a pastoral shortage, a Christian worker shortage. I haven't even gotten into like missionaries.
Right. Oh, my
and,
gosh.
And inner city workers and all the rest. I mean, it's bad right mm-hmm. now. So there's a shortage in all those worlds. We also looked and said, if you're going to be the leader of these things, you should get a real education. And that's why we started an internship and residency program and why the kids get paid. Mm-hmm. Because if you want a Bible degree, you can't go to Akron U and get one.
Yeah.
You have to go to a private Christian institution in order to get one. You can get stuff online. It's not usually very thoughtful, and it's not taught by practitioners, mm-hmm. People who do this all day, every day. So we want you to get a real education, and it's very expensive. So really what we're asking a kid to do at that point is go pay $45,000 a year times 7, because mm-hmm. a seminary is a master's degree,
right.
is what it is. So 4 years of undergrad, 2-3 years of seminary. Now they're coming out of school, probably tens of thousands, if not more, dollars in debt, mm-hmm. going into a career path that our financial ceiling is very low in ministry, mm-hmm. which is fine. We all sign up for that. But when I have to pay a house off first, $100,000 school debt. So about 10 years ago, we're like, we feel like this is important. We see the critical need for it. We want the kids to get a real education. How do we beat this system? Mm-hmm. So I called my alma mater, Grace College and Grace Seminary. I interacted with the president of the school there, and I said to him, I said, I don't need a philosophy degree. I don't need theory. I need a practical degree, just like a nursing degree. When you come out of nursing school, you can do nursing. Mm-hmm. When you come out of engineering school, you can do engineering. When you come out of your electrician apprenticeship, you can be an electrician.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need something like that, that we can train them in the Word of God. We can give them practical skills in Christian leadership. They're going to apprentice under like the master electrician or the pastor who knows what they're doing. But when they're done, they can actually do it. Mm-hmm. And Grace College and Seminary that's rooted out in Winona Lake, Indiana, caught that vision. They said, we want to support that vision. They went through the process of getting accredited in Ohio, which is not an easy thing. It's not cheap, but they made the investment. And they said, we want to be a part of training up these pastors, missionaries, and directors into the future. So what that ended up being then is we have a fully accredited undergrad degree that the interns are a part of, and then we have a fully accredited master's degree that the interns are a part of. The students receive work-study scholarships, so we pay them. They take their pay, and they pay their tuition mm-hmm. In college and in seminary. That's basically how that works, so that they can come out of those things debt-free, so that we can look at them and then say, will you make 25 grand and be a church planter or go to the mission field? And they are actually able to say yes to those because we beat the financial system. So the people of Grace Church give to those things. The reason that we pay them is, and we provide monies for them, is because they can't get scholarships for this education. So you don't get Pell Grants to go to the type of school that we have. If you say, I'm going to go into conservative evangelical full-time pastoral ministry, you just cut out about 98% of all scholarships that are available to anyone. So we just said, we have to provide the scholarship. They have to work for it, because I can tell you right now, if you do not develop a good work ethic in ministry, you will not last in ministry. Mm-hmm. And then they have to do school and do work, so they learn and do at the same time. And we're seeing that we've done this for 10 years now, we've seen that it has actually produced tremendous results. So you would be talking about people, if you're a Grace Church person, Pastor Ezra, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Ryan, Pastor Joe, Christy Keir, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Jordan, I could go on, Pastor Tony, I could go on and on and on and on, and you could look back and say, the vast majority of our pastors and our directors that are in our own ecosystem have come from our production of interns and residents. The vast majority of the really sharp younger people that are coming into our system are coming through our internships and our residency programs. At a minimum, we get to coach up and train a godly young person. A few of them do go to, you don't get a guaranteed job with Grace Church.
Sure, no.
They do go to other churches. But it's what allows us, when we think about starting new campuses and we think about continuing to move the gospel further faster, it's those young men and women that wind up being the staff backbone of that to move it forward and to lead the leaders of Grace.
The tip of the spear in terms of the goal of what that program is doing is it's finding those leaders, like you said, to continue to fill, who's going to lead these churches, who's going to take care of some of that gap that you started us off with. But what's amazing is, like, the unintentional byproduct has been to continue to fill these staff positions, help out these other churches, and also make incredible, like, lay leaders in churches.
That's right.
Because, like you said, when you're an intern in any profession, part of the internship is, am I supposed to do this with the rest of my life?
Right.
And sometimes the answer is no. That doesn't mean the experience was worthless.
Right.
And so what's fun about the kind of the Christian vocation is when you're learning those skills, when you're rooting yourself in the scripture, when you're figuring out how to minister, that actually applies to the Christian life, period. And so even if you don't do it vocationally, it ends up being a win for that person.
That's right. And we're obviously dialed in on the vocational side of it, but ministry is this very unique thing that is not unique at all. So ministry is the blend of my personal walk with God and my vocation, which is actually the call of every Christian.
Yeah.
So we disciple these kids, we help them grow, we help them get on their feet, just like we would everybody else. There's a pastoral element of that. What's unique about this is, in order to receive that vocational training, you don't have the same options, of course, as if you were going to go get an MBA or an international business degree or that kind of thing. So you just can't go down the street. You can't choose to go to school in state and choose to live at home and choose to and go. You know, if you choose to live at home and you're from Ohio and you work a part-time job, you can get through Akron U debt-free.
Sure.
Especially if your mom and dad or one of them is willing to help you with. And I mean that as a compliment.
Yep.
I don't mean that as like a something that's negative. You can get a real education from a Division I school, Akron, Kent, Cleveland State, and you can do great. You cannot do that in ministry.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. And so we support these young people in a different way. But what has happened for us is not only does it provide like the next round of people who would start campuses, but it also backfills when our people go. So like when Pastor Tony, who was an intern, when he went with his team to start Medina, he took Pastor Steve, who was an intern, he took Colin, I'm having a brain cramp here. It'll come to me in a minute. He took another guy that was an intern. I can see his face. Why is that not Colin coming to me. It'll come to me. But he took a couple of interns and residents with him. Then we raised up Pastor Keith, who was a resident, Pastor Josiah, who at the time was an intern. Mm-hmm. And it just allows us to send people in those ways. And then the recently here, for example, 4 years ago, we started the Akron East campus. And when we started the Akron East campus, we sent Pastor Ryan, mm-hmm. who was an intern and a resident. We sent with him Pastor Aaron, who was a resident. We sent Pastor Jordan, who was a resident. We sent Hannah Schaefer, who was an intern and then a resident. And then we sent River Harder, who was an intern and is now a resident.
Yep.
And we sent a team that was trained in the Word of God and deeply kind of engrossed in the culture of Grace Church. We launched that campus 4 years ago. They're running 600 people a weekend, yeah. running 600 people, had almost 900 people at Christmas. So it just allows us to do that. It moves the gospel further faster, but it's a long process. I was recently asking people to support this effort financially, and I was having kind of private conversations with them about giving to this, and folks have been amazing with it. But I explained to them, I said, guys, to this one family, I said, I'm asking you to give money now that you will not see a return on for about 7 or 8 years. And I said, but if we don't give it now, we're going to be 7, 8 years down the road and we'll be in it. And so they totally got it, totally mm-hmm. did the math. And so the husband said to me, he goes, I understand what you're doing. He said, you're trying to buy the seed to plant so you can harvest it later. I said, that's exactly what I'm trying to do, except I would just add to it, I'm planting oak trees. Like it's a slow, it's not corn. We're not going to reap it next year.
Right.
It's a slow process. But when we go to build a house and we have a forest of oak trees, we're going to be so glad that we thought ahead. So it's a long-term, Grace is unique in that we are a global movement that is also a local church. We're yeah. very weird that way. So this is tied to that global part. But God uses it, and these guys are well-trained, and the fruit is in the proof is in the fruit, so mm-hmm. to say. But it's a big investment, and yeah. it's an investment we make a lot. There's a risk to the investment, although I would say the risk is paid off in spades, mm-hmm. But it's a long-term investment. But I believe that God is using it in big ways. And we are uniquely equipped as a church. Our size, the movement vision that we as a congregation have accepted, that mm-hmm. we get excited about planting churches.
Yeah.
When I say I don't want to build a bigger auditorium, the people of Grace Church are like, right, we'll just sit on the floor, mm-hmm. you know, because we want to plant churches instead. So God uniquely wired us. We're weird yep. yeah. in that way. We also live in a place that is a spiritual desert, so we forget that sometimes. When you think of Northeast Ohio, there's a spiritual vacuum here. The gospel is not clear, and it's not easily accessible. And sometimes you think, well, there's a church on every corner, and I'm like, well, there's a building with a cross on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that it's healthy, and it doesn't mean that it's proclaiming the gospel. I was just yesterday, I was on a phone call with a friend from Dallas, Texas, and he runs a church planting network. He said, you guys live at one of the exact places we're targeting because we've identified it as a spiritual desert. And I'm like, well, you should have just called. I could have told you that, you know. So we just have to like know that, like from almost Akron up, mm-hmm. Especially in the Cleveland area, it's not that there are not great churches. Please right. don't mishear me. There are wonderful churches that we are proud of and we think of as allies for the gospel.
Absolutely, absolutely.
There just needs to be, you know, 100% more.
Yeah, or 300%. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when you think about getting into neighborhoods, et cetera. So it's just us doing our little thing, man. I don't think we're going to solve every problem, but I think God uniquely equipped us and prepared the hearts of our people to pitch in. we're not the only people doing this. We're not the only church doing this. You know, so we have partners across the country that we would look at. We have Momentum Ministry partners. Like I'm going to tonight, we're interviewing a kid from Pennsylvania who wants to come over and intern with us. So we make these things available kind of nationally, mm-hmm. and as well, of course, to the people who are part of Grace Church, and just trying to get the job done. And I'm just grateful that I think our people's willingness, we now, 10 years later, have invested millions of dollars into this. And I think our people's willingness to invest like that when the return isn't directly theirs. It's not a new building that we get to enjoy, and it's not a pastor that's directly tied to our young people. It's for someone else and another generation. And I think our people's willing to do that is just like this incredibly beautiful thing that God smiles on, because I think that's just the way that the church has operated every time it's pursuing the heart of Jesus. It's some version. It's not what we're doing per se, but it's some version of what we're doing to move the gospel forward.
That's really awesome. I hope that our listeners are catching the vision of that. If they haven't already, get excited about it, because as someone that gets to work behind the scenes in a lot of this, it's incredible to see the development, to see the excitement, to see the growth, to see the challenges, and then, of course, like you said, to see the fruit of it. It's just a fun vantage point to kind of sit in and watch it all happen. Yeah. Well, if you would like to follow up on a conversation like this, why does the church work the way that it does? I thought things were supposed to happen this way. Why does it work that way? You can always submit those kind of questions here at bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. And if we can help you take any unique next steps, maybe you're that person that's like, I think an internship makes sense, a residency makes sense. I think my life's calling may need to lean towards some type of vocational ministry. Like, reach out. Let us know. We would love to have that conversation and get you connected on the right pathway.
And Joe, I'll just jump in there. The undergrad and the graduate program, you do not have to be an intern or resident to be a part of it. So There's a bunch of people that are like, I would love to study the Bible more and get a degree. So they or their work has like continuing education dollars they take advantage of. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be going into full-time ministry.
You don't have to be 18 or 22.
That's correct. And you don't have to be an intern to pursue the... We have Grace Church kids, who are in that undergrad program, and they're not on internship.
Right.
And so that part of it is available to everyone across the region. It's not even exclusive to Grace Church.
Yep, absolutely. Well, if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more of it, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And if you're looking to check out what this is all about, you can always find us on the weekend here at Grace, or even check us out online. Thank you very much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us and raise up more and more people that will help do so. See you next time.